Limitless Wrestling fans, another edition of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast, coming to your ears wherever you may listen to this podcast. John Alba alongside Randy Carver. Randy, I feel like there's so much for us to catch up on.
I think there is. I think there's a lot that people have missed.
I mean, you tweeted and Instagrammed and Facebooked a picture. It was you and me together. I was a little less than thrilled, admittedly.
Why was that?
Well, Randy, why don't you tell the people? Because you know, we've said often on this show that anything can happen at a Limitless Wrestling event or a Let's Wrestle event. So
that's true.
What happened?
Well, as you proudly promoted on the podcast leading up to Let's Wrestle, the 2020 Let's Rumble earlier in the month, you said there was a huge acquisition coming into the Rumble, an in-ring debut. And I believe you said the biggest name ever to come into Let's Wrestle. Is that how you phrased it?
I believe that was it. And I also believe I said it was somebody that I talk about a lot.
That's true, because it was yourself, Emmy Award-winning John Alba. And you entered yourself into the Rumble, which was a very bold move by yourself. Getting in there with the likes of Eric Johnson, the Mainstate Posse, CJ Cruz, just to name a few.
Let's backtrack here, okay? Let's set the scene a little bit. Let's Rumble went down at the American Legion Post 84 on January 10th. We've got a huge episode of this podcast, by the way, folks. We're going to delve all the way into Limitless Wrestling and the big event coming up this week. But we need to talk about Let's Wrestle because it kind of preceded this. And it was Let's Rumble. Randy, this was probably one of the most fun pro wrestling events Central Maine has seen in some time.
Yeah, I love the Rumble events that we've had for Let's Rumble. Last year's was one of the funnest events of 2019, and this year's was no different. I think this is, you know, one of our key two or three Let's Wrestle events of the year. So we always try to make it jam-packed and an event that people don't want to miss. And we had a really good crowd there that night. I was very happy to see it, especially with snow in the forecast. And you felt the brunt of the ice storm that came on Sunday. But
yes.
I was very happy with how it turned out. It was a very fun event, like you said, and it was just very cool to see the mix of talent that we had there from guys who are, you know, making those steps from Let's Wrestle to Limitless Wrestling. Some of those already have. And to see a lot of the dojo students, the guys who have been busting their ass day in, day out at the dojo in Brewer, Maine, finally get some opportunities. We saw a debut in there. I think five or six Limitless Dojo attendees were a part of the show in some way, shape, or form. So that was really cool. But a fun event all around, especially to see MSP get to chop the shit out of you. That was pretty enjoyable for me.
Well, before we talk about the Rumble itself, let's talk about some of the other stuff that happened on the show of note. It's one of those things where you never know what's going to happen. Ava Everett, it was her birthday that day, and she was hoping for some sort of gift from Limitless Wrestling and Let's Wrestle. And, well, one of the gifts was incredibly disappointing. It was Eric Greenleaf holding an It Is Your Birthday cake.
Dude, what the fuck? Like, it was just... And then the blame gets shifted on me. Like, I didn't send him to the store. Anthony Green did, and he comes in with the worst cake possible. It Is Your Birthday, the most basic cake I've ever seen. And she was upset at first because she didn't have a match. Totally understandable. We put the open challenge out there with the assumption that it was going to be accepted before the day of the show. And then Anthony Green, you know, her boothang, came out and tried to make it better with the cake. That didn't work. And then he presented her with a Limitless Championship opportunity. And then we actually made some history. That's the first time the Limitless World Championship has been defended in Oro.
Can you imagine if Ava Everett had won the Limitless Wrestling Championship and just thrown this upcoming event this weekend for an absolute loop?
I think we'd have a fatal four-way on our hands if that did happen.
I think we would. But, I mean, like you said, this crowd got treated to a Limitless Wrestling Championship match. From what I heard, because I wasn't able to see the match itself, but from what I heard, it was a banger and people loved it.
And excellent. It was so much fun. I love when we're able to have Anthony Green on these Let's Wrestle events. It's not, you know, obviously not something that's able to happen every time, but I think he's a true benefit to the Let's Wrestle locker room. He's one of the most helpful guys that we have in a locker room like that. And especially for the dojo guys, you know, being able to have a seminar with him maybe before the show, or just being able, you know, he's just so helpful in general and has such fun matches on these events like this one. And the big bonus of this match for everyone who was watching and got to see Eric Greenleaf eat that cake,
which is just fantastic.
Yes. And for some reason, it made him see clearer. That's something to think about. But, getting caked in the face, that was hilarious. Ava Everett coming up short, but a fantastic match, is going to make his way to YouTube.com/LimitlessWrestling very soon.
Very excited for that. And we'll have more on the YouTube in just a few minutes because I do want to talk about that. We saw the Let's Wrestle Championship change hands.
We did. First time since the end of May that we've seen a Let's Wrestle Championship
change
hands.
Isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic? Both shows that I've been on in Let's Wrestle, the championship has changed hands. Perhaps there must be a third for a different man, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, yeah. Your boy. We'll talk about him in a second. Okay. But crazy fans bring the weapons match with Calvin Strange and Mike McCarthy. Really cool to kind of see classic Calvin out of his element. I think he's only competed in one or two hardcore rules matches ever, and to really dive into a fans bring the weapons match. I know he was a little bit apprehensive about it, a little nervous, but made the best of it and almost walked out victorious. Really, really showed that he can hang with anyone in any type of match, any style. But Mike McCarthy has been on a tear throughout 2019 into early 2020, and this is, you know, the icing on the cake for McCarthy finally getting to the top of the mountain in Let's Wrestle. He was voted by the fans as Let's Wrestle MVP, as we talked about a few weeks ago.
And he was very proud of that.
He was really proud of that. He's really, you know, every time he leaves these events, he tells me that Let's Wrestle is home for him, and he's very proud now to be able to represent Let's Wrestle as the champion.
Yeah, and I saw him talking to you before the show, and he was kind of asking you. Obviously, he didn't know what the fans were going to bring, but he's like, oh, you know, like, what if hypothetically someone brings some hairspray and I have a lighter? You know, is that permissible? I mean,
I had to talk him off a few ledges because we do have to keep the building happy.
You don't want to burn the building down either.
That would not be good.
But he was great, and he is your new Let's Wrestle champion, and he has a number one contender facing him, and that is Alec Price, the winner of the Let's Rumble. Let's talk about this Rumble at length here, Randy, because this was probably, we always get the question whenever we do Ask Limitless, when's a Royal Rumble or a Big Battle Royal going to come to Limitless Wrestling? Well, this is pretty much what you got here. This was that. You saw several Limitless Wrestling talent in this thing. And it was the perfect avenue for it, the perfect arena for it. This was a big time main event in main wrestling, and if you missed it, you missed out on something pretty awesome.
Yeah, and this was a lot of fun. A lot of people, we talked about it before we went on air, but a lot of people were saying this was much better than last year's. Not that last year's was bad by any means, because we got great reviews of last year, but I think this Rumble, just there were so many moving parts, and it all came together very well. Multiple different altercations that you may not see, you know, on a normal Let's Wrestle or Limitless show. It's just, it provides these cool opportunities where we're able to tell a lot of stories in a short amount of time in, you know, one night, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I love a Rumble match. I do think, like, there is potential that we could get a Rumble match in Limitless Wrestling at some point, but the circumstances have to be right. It's not just going to be something that we just do to do it.
Well, talk to me here about the difficulties of setting up a Royal Rumble, just from the logistical standpoint as a promoter here.
Well, I mean, you have to, I guess you don't have to, but we time pretty much everything out. Every entrant, every moving piece that there really is given to the talent. But we, you know, there's a lot of flexibility in there as well for fun, organic moments to happen. And they always do, like the dance off of Little Blay and Anthony Green. Anthony Green then pile driving the little stuffed animal he comes out with and hucking it over the top rope. That was fun on the fly stuff. And there's a lot of that in the Rumbles, but it's that mixture of just kind of controlled chaos and a lot of moving parts. So sometimes it can get kind of clunky, and that's what I always worry about, is maybe there's too many people in there or just not enough. Sometimes not enough shit going on.
I didn't think either of those things happened in this match.
I don't think so either. This is a very fun flowing Rumble. I think I've rewatched it two or three times, and just a whole lot of fun. I'm going to get to editing that show probably after this weekend's event. So I think you'll be seeing Let's Rumble footage probably either at the end of the weekend or the very start of next week.
Well, I got word from my boy, Mac Daniels, about maybe a week before this event saying they're trying to do it to me again. I said, what? He said, they're trying to screw me again. You guys put him as number one in the Rumble. And he was excited for the challenge, but also weary because he knows that people like Eric Greenleaf are just the worst human beings ever. And he was weary that he was not going to receive an opportunity that he deserved. He has proven show in and show out that he has main event level ability in Let's Wrestle. So for him to come in at number one, he needed a little bit of backup just to ensure that no one would screw that over.
Yeah, had to really call in the muscle.
It's not about muscle. It's, well, it is muscle. It's muscle of the brain.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you tell me, after having watched that Rumble, did I not play a crucial part in ensuring, as I promised, that my man would be there at the end?
I mean, he did make it to the final three.
But I don't want to give myself credit here. I would never do that. I would never pat myself on the back.
No, that would be totally out of your wheelhouse.
I would never pat myself on the back here.
No, God, no.
Mac Daniels had a superstar performance in this Rumble. I don't care if I am biased. You can say it biasedly. You can say it unbiasedly. He was the Iron Man of this match. He went from number one until the final three. I think he got a little distracted by what happened to me. I can't blame him. It was very traumatic. And we'll delve into that in a second. But Randy, I mean, you can't deny it. He had a breakout performance here.
He did. I mean, I believe he went over 40 minutes. I haven't actually looked
at the time. He went much longer than 40 minutes.
And just was hanging in there with everybody. And he got the shit kicked out of him. He really did. Especially early on. Nobody was treating him lightly. And I think there was definitely a target on his back, especially after you guys grabbed the microphone to start this thing off and basically ripped everybody in the back and said he was going to win the Rumble, which I understand. You guys were very confident heading into this, but a great performance by Mac Daniels. There are a few people who really stood out in this Rumble. CJ Cruz, who was the runner-up. He was right there with Alec Price at the very end. Brett Ryan Gosling, Anthony Green hung in there until about entrance 16 or 17 from the number two spot, but very encouraging for the future, I think, of Mac Daniels to last that long with so many different people in there. He had his wits about him. He knew where everybody was at all times for the most part. And I would not be shocked if there's a championship match in his future. I mean, obviously, he does have to earn it. He had the opportunity to in this Rumble and didn't get it done.
As if he didn't earn it. Are you kidding me?
He didn't win the match.
He didn't win the match, sure, because of technicalities. But he earned it, Randy. Earned it. He was the Iron Man, and he eliminated seven guys.
He'll have more opportunities to earn it.
And did you hear the reaction when he got thrown out of the ring?
Oh, people were stoked. People were out of their seats.
But do you know what that means, Randy? That means he's gotten underneath the skin of everyone there.
And that's, as of you. That's you, what he it, had you with him, too.
That's what it, maybe that was the idea, Randy.
Maybe
that was the idea. And it just proves, once again, that he is not just the main attraction, he is the main event attraction, and I stand by that, and I'm so proud of him. I thought he was amazing. Now, things did not go according to plan, I will admit, okay? I had originally planned to be out there at ringside for the entire match. We may or may not have played a role in Anthony Green being eliminated.
Yeah.
Anthony Green got distracted looking at my hair, and he chased after me after he got eliminated. And he chased me to the back. I went all around the building. He slipped on some black ice, so I was able to get away from him. It was terrifying, to be completely honest with you. And I don't know if you knew this, but I was backstage, and I had a note passed to Ethan Scott, ring announcer, because he was going to be in the Rumble again at the 28th spot.
What?
And, yeah. You know, because he was in it last year, and he was going to be in it again.
Had a great run last year.
And I passed a note to him, because I didn't want to show my face. I passed a note to him. I said, hey, man, like, I'll let you touch my hair if you let me get in. And Ethan understands greatness.
That's bullshit. And you passed him a nice $100 bill.
Anyway, and I said, can I have your spot? I need to get back out there without AG seeing me. I need to be in the match, so I'll be protected by Mac Daniels. It'll be great. And he said, yeah, sure, man. No problem. I got you. So I came in at number 28 with a wardrobe change. And I'll admit, Randy, I got a little overzealous at first. I saw the ring. Yeah, I saw Eric Johnson there. And I said, I got to go for it. And I did a crossbody. He may or may not have caught me, but due to the brilliance of Mac Daniels, Mac Daniels used me as a physical weapon. And we had a great showing. And it was my idea, and you can go back and look in this Rumble, for everyone to team up and eliminate Eric Johnson. It made sense, right? Good strategy.
Yeah.
Get the big man out. You know, Mac Daniels and I did most of the work, but we got him out.
You were throwing ghost punches from behind the pile.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
I'll post a video. It's quite visible.
No idea what you're referring to.
All right.
And then the main state posse, who I have nothing but respect for and have been nothing but nice to in my 5 years of knowing them.
Always.
Turned their back on me. They took out my friend Mac. They kicked me in the face. They pulled my shirt above my head, ruined my hair, and chopped the crap out of me. I was bleeding.
Hell yeah.
It was red for 3 days. And then Danger Kid, to make matters worse, as I was incapacitated and could not see, drew out his chop on me. I could not see. So I had no idea when it was coming. And then it was the worst. And then they threw me over. But alas, it allowed for Mac Daniels and Alec Price to eliminate them, so suck it. Alec Price is your winner. This guy's really good, Randy. He's really good. Can't take that away from him.
He's incredible, honestly.
Even though he kicked me in the face, but that's besides the point.
He and CJ Cruz had, you know, quick rises at the same time. And it's kind of cool that it was really with each other. It was their series of matches that got them booked on Limitless Wrestling. It was their match together that got them rebooked for Limitless in November. And they really solidified their roster spots with both Let's Wrestle and Limitless Wrestling. And just really cool to see how far these dudes have come in just 1 year. Because honestly, a year ago, if we're looking at January 2019, these two are relative unknowns, not only just to the world of Limitless Wrestling, but really professional wrestling. I think both of them had a handful of matches. I don't even know if CJ was really wrestling much on shows a year ago. And to see just how much work they've put in, how much better they've gotten, how they've connected with our audience, speaks a lot to how much time they've put into the craft. So happy to have them on the team, and congratulations to Alec Price. And that moves us to Volume 13, Pick Your Poison. It's going to be Alec Price, Mike McCarthy. Pick Your Poison. They get to choose each other's opponents on Saturday, February 8th in Orono, Maine. We also set up the Stigma versus the Main State Posse. Danger Kid and Nate Nagro versus Eric Johnson.
Which is a really cool story because Eric Johnson trained the Main State Posse.
He did. I don't know if a lot of people know that, like within our audience realm. I don't know if we've talked about that a ton, but yeah, Eric Johnson, the original trainer of Danger Kid and Aiden Agro. So it's coming full circle here. Eric Johnson and Brandino have been the Let's Wrestle tag team champ. They're the inaugural tag team champions of Let's Wrestle. They've been the champs since the end of last summer. So this is a huge test for them because, you know, it's not like they haven't had huge challenges yet, but I mean, the Main State Posse are the top team in New England, in my opinion, and it's gonna be tough for them to get through that.
No doubt it is. And are we going to start to see some of those backstage interviews from Let's Wrestle soon?
Yes, I'm waiting for Danny to shoot them my way. But I think by the end of this week, we'll be able to start seeing some probably on the Let's Wrestle Facebook and Instagram.
I had a chance to speak with Eric Johnson about that match, and that's something that you're going to want to see, as Randy said. Saturday, February 8th, that is coming your way. It's going to be pretty great. And yeah, there's a lot of great things going on with Limitless Wrestling right now. First off, we're trying something new. We're doing the hashtag Limitless live stream on Wednesdays, right after AEW Dynamite goes off the air. So 10 o'clock Eastern. You head over to Limitless Wrestling on YouTube, youtube.com/Limitless Wrestling. And right there on the spot, you're going to see a brand new match debut for free every single week. This Wednesday, you're going to see Dan Moff versus Matthew Justice from Anything or in Anything Goes from Fresh Blood back in October. We just saw Ashley Vox and Chris Statlander this past week. This is a pretty cool idea, but you can't miss it because it's the only time you're going to get to see these matches.
Yeah, because these are there was a few questions about it last week. It was really something like a spark of the moment idea that just decided to do to try it out because we haven't really done much with the YouTube premiere feature. And I figured, fuck it, we should start trying it, especially with how rapidly the audience is growing on YouTube. So it's something new that we're trying to give people a chance to see matches that we aren't releasing for free on YouTube. And maybe they don't pay for IWTV and they don't stream the events, or maybe they don't buy the DVDs. So it's kind of a one-time shot to see some of the big matches that have happened in Limitless Wrestling thus far. As you said, last week was Last Creature Standing, Chris Statlander and Ashley Vox. And when it was all said and done, over 250 viewers tuned in. So I think it's something cool that we can keep trying and hopefully building that audience up. So 10:15, pretty much every Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite, we're going to be streaming different matches throughout the 4.5-year history of Limitless Wrestling. Maybe even sprinkle in some Let's Wrestle stuff in there. And I've been considering maybe putting together full tapings and actually dropping the tapings as like a premiere before we drop them on the YouTube as single matches. So there's going to be a lot of stuff that we're trying with that every Wednesday night. So definitely check that out. We'll have some tweets sent out on that as well to remind you.
Well, the cool thing is we are only 5,000 subs away. 5,000 subscriptions away, my friend, from 600,000. Again, Limitless Wrestling is one of the top 10 most subscribed to pro wrestling promotion YouTube channels in the world. So this is something that you guys can get behind, tell your friends, subscribe to Limitless Wrestling on YouTube, youtube.com/Limitless Wrestling. It is a cool thing for you to get in on because there's new stuff dropping every day, man. It's great. And
up to reaching 600,000 subscribers, we are going to drop a new free match every single day. So definitely be on the lookout for that as well, because coming up next is your boy Mac Daniels versus Luke Robinson from Let's Wrestle Volume 11.
Okay. I've heard great things.
Really fun match.
Mainly because it was my best friend in it, and he's great. Of course. Yeah, I love him. But yes. No doubt about it. How great were his new trunks, huh? They are just fantastic.
He did get some slick threads. Oh, he really did.
I mean, he really did. He looks like a god. I mean, he is unbelievable.
You got to chill out over there.
No. We got Flirting with Disaster coming up, Randy. Can you believe it? It's here. When's it going down? What's the ticket situation? What's the latest?
Well, it's going down this Friday at the Yarmouth Amvets in Yarmouth, Maine. Tickets are pretty slim at the time of recording. I think 8 tickets remain.
Wow.
So this looks to be a sellout, but don't fret because we will be releasing some standing room only tickets the day of the show. Just can't gauge, obviously, how many we'll be able to release until we have our setup. But I think we're going to be able to release another 30 tickets day of show. So if you can't get them online, definitely be checking into our Facebook. We'll have all the info on the event page, facebook.com/Limitless Wrestling. Find the Flirting with Disaster event page. But I do think we'll be releasing anywhere between 30 and 40 more tickets day of show. Okay. We might even be able to fit a few more chairs, but as of right now, it looks like slim pickings on the tickets. I think will be sold out before Friday. But if you can, I mean, go check it out. Regardless, huge card coming in, kicking off 2020. I think there's a lot of excitement around this event because obviously, like, we've taken 2 months off. We kind of hammered out the last couple months of the year. We had events September, October, November, which was our first taste of running monthly, because pretty much Limitless Wrestling up to this point, except for a few particular instances, has been every month and a half, every 2 months. And I really, after Know Your Enemy, I really wanted to try something with this new Yarmouth venue, because they do give us a little more freedom of booking events, and we can book out a little further and actually have that flexibility to plan in advance. So I said, fuck it. Like, we're going to try this from September to November and see if we, you know, if we fall on our face. We obviously know that we can't sustain something like this. And if we don't, you know, this is probably something that we can do heading into 2020. Mm-hmm. And now, we haven't released all the dates yet. And I think we should do that on the podcast in the next couple of weeks, but we have events every month from January to May at this point.
Including prom.
Yeah, the Pine State Prom, Wrestle Prom. We announced that earlier this week. That's going to be Saturday, April 18th. It's the Pine State Prom Tag Team Tournament. Eight teams are going to tango for tag team supremacy. But we'll have details on that forthcoming in the next couple months. But a lot of cool stuff coming in the world of Limitless Wrestling. So for everyone who supported us up to this point, thank you so much, because we're now at a point where we can start producing more events, which is really what a lot of people have been asking for a long time. I know there's been a huge chunk of the fan base who's wanted to support this monthly. And after, you know, about 4.5 years, we're finally at a point where that seems sustainable with not, you know, having to dumb down the event cards at all.
I love it. That's really awesome stuff. Very exciting. Very exciting. And something that I'm really excited about, Randy, is this Limitless Wrestling World Championship match on Flirting with Disaster. It's Retro Anthony Green versus Top Talent Christian Casanova versus Ace Romero. One of the biggest matches in Limitless Wrestling history. I feel like we say that every month, but it really is the case. It just gets bigger and better every month. But before Anthony Green was obsessed with my hair at the Let's Wrestle event, he and I actually got together backstage, and we talked about this match and some of the important things that he faces going into this and what he has to keep his eye on as he faces two of his most dangerous threats yet. So let's take a listen to my conversation with Anthony Green. John Alba is sitting here one-on-one with Retro AG, Anthony Green, the Limitless Wrestling Champion, just a few days ahead of what may be your biggest match yet in Limitless Wrestling, a triple threat match for the Limitless Wrestling Championship, yourself versus your former best friend Ace Romero versus one of the hottest stars in all of Limitless Wrestling and maybe even all of professional wrestling right now, Christian Casanova. Tensions have boiled over to this point as we get this triple threat match at Flirting with Disaster on January 24th. What's your mentality like right now, AG?
I mean, usually a championship match, it could be one-on-one and you only have to beat one person. In this match, though, only one person needs to be pinned to win the Limitless Wrestling World Championship. It's kind of scary thinking that that person doesn't have to be me. Christian Casanova could lose this match for me. Ace Romero could lose this match for me. But the one thing I'm confident in is Anthony Green will not lose this match for himself.
How do you prepare for that, though? Because you just said you don't have to take a fall here to lose what you worked so hard for.
I mean, is there really a game plan in a match like this? You have Ace Romero, who weighs, you know, 300 pounds. He's been in the gym every day, clearly showing a change in his body and in his workouts and how he's looking physically, getting stronger every time, showing success as well in professional wrestling, signing with Impact Wrestling. Then you have Christian Casanova, locally in the New England area. Just, is there any doubt that anyone's doing any better? Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, just won the NEW Live Championship in Connecticut. And now he's slowly but surely making a name for himself just in the Northeast region in general, wrestling for places like Battle Club and whatnot. So yeah, who has more to prove than him? You know, Ace Romero has proved himself around the world, around the globe. But this is the biggest opportunity for Christian. And I think it's just my job and my duty as the champion to just, I guess, hold the fort down.
Does that intimidate you at all by how focused a guy like Christian Casanova is, by how hungry a guy like Ace Romero is, who's been a staple here at Limitless but has yet to reach the same pinnacle that you have?
I wouldn't say I'm intimidated by it, but I would definitely say that it's something I have to, you know, be mindful of, that I'm cautious of, because who has the biggest target on his back, not just in this match, but in the entire company? Me. Who else is bringing that belt to other places? Who's bringing it in wrestling Brian Pillman Jr.? You know, who's bringing it around to New Jersey and winning matches against guys like Crowbar? Not them. So I have a lot to lose and even more to gain, I think, in this matchup at Flirting with Disaster.
There was no hesitance from you at all to accept this challenge.
No.
Why not?
Maybe it's an ego thing. Obviously, I'm not the biggest wrestler in the world. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the most athletic guy. But I think I've proved myself, especially in Limitless, that I am a top guy and I'm a fighting champion. My first defense was against the biggest guy on the entire roster, Josh Briggs. And I was ready to go one-on-one with Ace Romero in January, but Christian Casanova had to stick his nose in our business, so why not kill two birds with one stone and just show everybody that I'm the best champion in the company?
You mentioned your ego. Is there any worry that that ego could get in your own way in a match like this?
I don't think so. I would say I'm grounded. I know where I came from the worst possible wrestling school, probably in the country, man, in a little crappy hockey arena in Holbrook, Mass, to then training with Spike Dudley and training at Top Rope, then going to the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. Like, my roots are ingrained in the New England and Northeast area. So no, I don't think it's the ego is going to get in my way. Maybe anxiety might. Maybe getting in my own head might a little bit. I'm the first person to admit that I overthink every situation that I'm in. But I think that also has made me a stronger competitor and trying to just keep ahead of the game one or two steps.
This is obviously not your first time in the ring with these guys.
No.
There's been plenty of rodeos.
Yeah.
With how well they know you, does that bring about any concern on your behalf?
I mean, like you said, Ace Romero, one of my best friends. We've traveled together. We've gone to the gym together. We were workout buddies when he was living around my area. We were a tag team. But at the same token, Christian Casanova, I've known him since 2013. And we trained together. I saw his first days in the beginner's ring. I was at his first match. I had one of his first matches he's ever had. So yeah, I'm sure they have some dirt on me. I'm sure they know my weaknesses. They know what bugs me. But if I'm going to just worry about the negative things that they know about me, then I guess I'm going to defeat myself if that's the case.
And you know them just as well.
Yeah. Like I said, Christian Casanova, I was there since day one for him. There's no move of his that I don't know. There's no move that he doesn't know of mine. Same with Ace Romero. I've had his number on multiple occasions. He's the reason why I had a shot at the world title in the first place. But he was also the reason for my first loss, though he was the one that lost the match. But also, he was the first person in Limitless Wrestling to pin me.
Is that something that still lurks in the back of your head to this day?
I mean, I'm always a guy that forgives and never forgets. So, of course, it's in the back of my mind that he's the guy that beat me, or he's the reason why I lost my first match. But at the same time, did he help me along in my success? Guys like Christian Casanova, he's beat me, you know, plenty of times, but I've beat him even more.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation because you are at a champion's disadvantage, and that doesn't really happen very often in pro wrestling. Is that just an opportunity for you to prove that you rightfully are in this position for a reason?
Yeah, this match, there will be a winner. There's no time limit draw here. There's not going to be a disqualification. It's three men duking it out to see who the best in Limitless Wrestling is. At this point in time, and I think for a long time, it's going to be me. I told you the second I won the championship that this was going to be like the reign that no one will ever forget. Until the day that I sign my contract at a major wrestling company, I'm going to hold that belt with pride. I'm going to bring it everywhere I go. It's in my bag right this second. And there's just no stopping Anthony Green.
I want to talk about Christian for a second here. When he comes out to challenge for that triple threat match, this Limitless crowd, which has shown in the past year, it loves you. You had some of the biggest moments in Limitless Wrestling history in the past calendar year. They came unglued for him. They were ready to get behind a guy who, sure, maybe he hasn't won by the cleanest of methods in the past, but has proven that he's a winner. Is that something that you think about with how this crowd may put a little bit of support behind a guy like him?
I think everything in professional wrestling is situational. And I think, like I told you before, I overanalyze every little thing. So do they come unglued? Do they love it because of shock value, that they were surprised he was going to come out? Was it because he had an amazing match with Myron Reed just a couple matches before? Or are they really getting behind Killanova Inc.? I'll never have an answer. I really don't know. But at the same time, I also think moments after that, I super kicked his glasses right off his face and they went nuts. Moments later, Ace Romero dropped me on my head and they went nuts. So to say the crowd's a little fickle, sure. Is it going to be split three ways? Probably. But in my heart of hearts, I feel like they've been with me since day one, since being the second match behind a seafood restaurant to main eventing my first Limitless Wrestling show from an undefeated streak. I think it's going to be a rowdy crowd. I think it's going to be a hot crowd. But I think it's going to be what it's been for months now, and that's my crowd.
And lastly, you put so much into this pursuit of this championship. This was everything to you. It was emotional. It was the culmination of a journey that, as you said, started in a catering hall and culminated in front of some of the biggest crowds that the state of Maine has ever seen. You've piggybacked it into a tremendous amount of success. If you lost this match, if you had that taken away from you, what would be next for you?
I don't think losing's an option. I don't. If, by the slightest chance, the rain were to end this early, I'd be heartbroken. I think my girlfriend would be heartbroken. I just can't think about that.
He's Retro AG. He'll be defending the Limitless Wrestling Championship January 24th against Christian Casanova and Ace Romero. AG, thanks for your time.
So you can hear there, Randy, that AG is, at least what I gathered from it, he's almost cautiously optimistic. There was a little bit of a, that I picked up on at least, a little bit of a shed of doubt in him and what could unfold here. So I'm really curious with this championship match that I feel like we may as well just start our conversation with it. The Flirting with Disaster main event, the world title on the line between AG, Christian Casanova, and Ace Romero. I mean, in your opinion, having seen everything that AG has gone through, it really feels like he has a lot to lose in this match to me.
I agree totally, and I think I said earlier this week, you'll wonder if he was a little overzealous in the ring at Twilight Zone, accepting the challenge of both Ace Romero and Christian Casanova, because, you know, we both know he did not have to do that.
No. And you would have been fine with him not doing it.
the likely scenario would have been he challenges one of them in January and the winner of that match moves on to the next guy in February. But, you know, when you're in the ring post-match, you just picked up a big victory and, you know, the juices are flowing. You're feeling everybody in that venue and it just, you know, maybe you just get a little overzealous and you make a challenge or you accept two challenges that you don't really realize how deep of a hole you're digging yourself or how over your head you're really getting, because now, you know, Ace Romero has been chomping at the bit for a championship match since not being involved in the decision of the inaugural championship match in March. Christian Casanova has yet to even have a shot at the gold.
Yeah.
And he's someone who, you know, we've been hearing it. I know you've seen the tweets because they've been coming into the podcast posts as well, that people have been feeling for quite some time that Christian Casanova is worthy of a championship match. And I think he's proved that, especially over the past few months. He's undefeated since Know Your Enemy, defeating Layla Hirsch, Myron Reed, Kevin Blackwood in that time frame. So he's more than deserving. And it's kind of cool for those who have been following Limitless Wrestling for a long time, too, because all three of these guys were on the very first mm-hmm. Limitless Wrestling show, Stage 1.
And all three are so different from them now.
They are. And they've made so many strides in their careers. They're so different, but it's still, you know, these core roster members of Limitless Wrestling. And, you know, I'm very excited to watch this one because, like you said, I really do think this is one of the biggest matches in Limitless Wrestling history thus far. And this could really either solidify Anthony Green as the fucking guy here, or it could change the pace of Limitless Wrestling kicking off 2020.
And what lengths will he go to retain that title? It's a triple threat match, man. He doesn't have to get pinned. He doesn't have to tap out.
That's one of the biggest questions I had coming into this is, you know, does he realize, obviously he does now, but at the time, did he realize, you know, how much of a disadvantage he's putting himself in this match?
Yeah. And we talked about a lot of that in that interview. So if you missed any of that, go ahead, rewind, go check all that good stuff out. Thank you again to AG for that huge main event with major implications going forward, but this is a huge card in general. First time ever. So many people are excited for this one. Danhausen returns and he's squaring off against the winner of Let's Rumble, the prize, Alec Price. We saw what he did against JD Drake last month or 2 months ago. And, I mean, what a way to make yourself a known commodity, right? Like, he had the match with CJ Cruz. Then he goes in there, answers an open challenge, and shows up and shows out. So Alec Price has a chance to make a name for himself once again here against a guy who has captured the pro wrestling world by storm lately in Danhausen.
Yeah, he absolutely has. And I feel like we say it every time we talk about Danhausen on the pod, but it's amazing the pull that he has with the audience now. When he debuted in Limitless Wrestling, like in March of 2019, he was still somewhat of a relative unknown to our audience. There were a few people who may have recognized him from doing a studio taping with Limitless that's got to be a few years ago now, but really transformed his career, has really become a fan favorite in Limitless Wrestling, and now, you know, he's on the crusade for no swearing. I don't know if you've seen that on his Twitter much, but
yes.
He's really trying to control his buddy Warhorse and trying to kind of clean up the yes. world that he lives in.
It's been very vulgar.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the prize Alec Price does have quite a potty mouth, so... it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out because I feel like Alec Price may incense Danhausen with the amount of swears he's going to throw out in this contest.
I got it firsthand. Alec Price cursed me out for not talking about him enough on this podcast and talking too much about Mac Daniels.
Was that the first thing he said to you?
Not the first thing, but it was definitely pointed my way. And then and then he kicked me in the face. So I felt that. Okay, this is just insanity. The Thick Boy Throwdown, the Meat Man John Silver versus Puff. We're getting this big blow off here, Randy. This is a long time coming. Puff took a musical approach to send a warning to John Silver, which I wasn't necessarily expecting, but it is available on the Limitless Wrestling social media that you should go check out. Puff's big return here. John Silver may be bound for greener pastures. We've seen him as a member of the Dark Order. What are you expecting here?
Well, I mean, this is a match that's been a long time in the making. Anyone who's been following knows that. Puff has been trying since November of 2018 to work his way into the Thick Boys. Obviously, John Silver, Jay Freddie, collectively known as the Thick Boys. And, you know, he really did have some, you know, some improvement throughout the few months that he was a protege of the Thick Boys. He won over Jay Freddie. Jay Freddie was ready to initiate him. John Silver, not quite feeling Puff. And then it just, every time he'd take a few steps ahead with John Silver, he'd take about 20 back. And it came to a head this past May. And a lot of people remember this match was originally set up for the Vacationland Cup 2019. And we just had so many scheduling issues with John Silver and Puff throughout the, you know, the months after July that I didn't think this match was ever going to happen. And then with the news of John Silver signing with AEW, it looked very slim that this was going to happen. But luckily, John Silver's still able to do this event. I think still able to do a few more Limitless Wrestling events as well, from what it sounds like. So we're finally able to put this together. Unfortunately, no Jay Freddie in the building. We wanted to have him as a special guest referee to pull back the curtain a little bit, to, you know, really bring this to a head and have everybody in the building who is a part of this. But unfortunately, he will not be getting back from Japan in time. He's just getting done with his tour of Japan. Congratulations to him too, because that's awesome that he went back over there, but he won't be back in time to be a part of this. So I'm just excited that we get to have this blow off finally between John Silver and Puff. See if Puff can finally prove to John Silver that he was worthy all along of being a Thick Boy. Yeah.
And then John he said he and Jay Freddie are gonna celebrate together. They will reunite and life will go on. Do you believe that?
I mean, it could very well happen, but on the flip side, I could truly, you know, see John Silver fucking him up a little bit. John Silver's had some crazy-ass matches lately in Limitless Wrestling, and really, the crazy part about this is, since leaving the Thick Boys, John Silver has not had that much success in Limitless Wrestling.
Yeah.
Losing to Layla Hirsch, not being successful at Know Your Enemy in the Scramble because of Puff, to be honest, and then losing the IWTV Independent Championship opportunity at Twilight Zone to Warhorse, so it's been a tough few months for John Silver without the Thick Boys. And now, I mean, maybe if he can beat Puff, maybe that's his step in the right direction. Maybe that's his refresher in Limitless Wrestling. Who knows?
NWA Stars Collide. It's the real catch. Ashley Vox versus the Culture Queen. Tasha Steelz. Ashley Vox, you know, she's just been so much in the spotlight of Limitless Wrestling in the past calendar year. This kind of a different flavor for her after that huge win over Chris Statlander. This is something a little different, Randy.
Yeah, this is some new blood for Ashley Vox, and, you know, just something to really test her out again, because not that she hasn't been tested, but, you know, it's been Chris Statlander. She hasn't, but she's been undefeated since May, which is unbelievable with the opponents that she's had lined up for her.
Hasn't lost since the MJF match, correct?
No, she hasn't lost since that championship opportunity against MJF at Hooked on a Friedman. And 2019 was an incredible run for Ashley Vox, not only just in Limitless Wrestling, but everywhere she went. I truly believe that she became one of the top female performers on the Independents. And now Tasha Steelz, who's a product of Damian Adams' school in the Pennsylvania area, he's also helped such talents like Deonna Purrazzo and Karen Q. So some incredible competitors coming out of that area. And Tasha Steelz's been someone on our radar for quite some time, suggested highly by Christian Casanova, as she's a part of Kilmanova Inc. and Chaotic Wrestling. And I think Tasha will be someone who's around Limitless Wrestling quite a bit throughout 2020, pending she doesn't get signed, because I could definitely see that in her future. But it's a fun new test for Ashley Vox to kick off 2020, and I'm really going to try to keep throwing new tests at her to see, you know, how good she really is. How successful can she continue to be? And fuck, man, I don't think she's very far from the Limitless Wrestling Championship match.
I think she's still knocking on that door, man. And look, we always talk about as a yearly challenge, like, can you get yourself on that Mount Rushmore? And if she continues that success, she certainly will be knocking on that door, too.
I agree.
Very exciting year ahead for her. Speaking of exciting, this may be the match I'm looking most forward to on this show. The debut of Brian Pillman Jr. here in Limitless Wrestling to take on J.D. Drake. This match is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's about time, man. I mean, people have been asking for Brian Pillman, it feels like, over a year at this point. And
he's got great hair.
Great hair, A-plus mullet. But he's going to have to be on his A game coming into Yarmouth, Maine, because J.D. Drake is a killer. He's a cold-blooded killer, man. He's so fun to watch and beat the bricks off Alec Price at Twilight Zone. If you haven't seen that match, that's up for free, youtube.com/limitlesswrestling. And J.D. Drake said it post-match. He said, line him up, I'll keep knocking him down. And, you know, talking to him a little bit, he's someone who wants to be in contention for a Limitless Championship match. But on the flip side, Brian Pillman Jr. is a guy who wants to punch his ticket back to Limitless Wrestling sooner rather than later. And I'll let you in on a little secret. This is going to be the first match people see this Friday. This is going to kick things off.
Wow.
So what a way to kick things off. And could be a huge step in the right direction for J.D. Drake looking for a championship match. But this could instantly, I mean, we've seen it in the past. Stars come in here, they pick up a victory in their debut, and then they're right back the next month. That could be the story for Brian Pillman.
You're telling me this show is going to be bookended with Pillman versus J.D. Drake and then the world championship match at the end?
Absolutely.
That's crazy. That is a wild card right there, just off those two matches alone. But we are not done, because we have a totally weird match, but for some reason I think it'll be awesome. You're calling it a fresh start four-way. Josh Briggs versus Kevin Blackwood versus Jody Threat versus Alexander By God Lee and Joey Eastman, of course. Something a little different from the traditional scramble here. But all four people very talented in their own way. But it just, this seems like you're taking a risk here, Randy, because I don't see where the chemistry develops between these four. That's not to say it's not going to. In fact, I expect it will. But it's kind of a little bit of a risk, don't you think?
I don't think it's a risk. I mean, I think this is a fun...
Just four totally different people. They're so different, all four of them.
I mean, that's every single scramble we book, John.
Yeah, but...
Every one of them.
Yeah, but a lot of the scrambles, it's like, okay, you've got a lot of high flyers, and then, like, they're different, but still at the end... I mean, these four are so different, and that's cool. I like it. I do like it. I mean, Alexander Lee is batshit crazy. Josh Briggs is a wildebeest. Kevin Blackwood is probably one of the hungriest guys you're going to see out there. And Jody Threat is still a relative newcomer to Limitless Wrestling in the grand scheme of things, and she's got so much to prove.
It's a wild combination of four people for sure, but I think it's just it reminds me of every single scramble, because you never know what's going to happen. There's going to be a crazy amount of action. It's going to be, you know, probably multiple car wrecks in that match, but it's four competitors here fighting for a victory that he did not achieve at the end of 2019. We look back at Josh Briggs, unsuccessful in his Limitless Championship challenge against Anthony Green at Fresh Blood. Alexander Lee pinned by Gangrel at Fresh Blood. Jody Threat, she's still looking for her first win in Limitless Wrestling. She was unsuccessful at Twilight Zone against Masha Slamovich. And Kevin Blackwood led the team of The Butcher and the Blade in against Team Dunn at Fresh Blood unsuccessfully. So these are four competitors who are really looking to climb up the ladder in Limitless Wrestling. Obviously, Briggs wants to get back to a championship match against the champion. The other three would love to sniff at a chance at a championship match. So could be a huge win for the other three as well if they can knock off, you know, someone who's been as prominent as Josh Briggs in Limitless Wrestling, and he's the current Evolve champion. But just it's going to be very fun to watch. And speaking to chemistry, Josh Briggs and Kevin Blackwood just had a banger for 01 USA a couple months ago that I really enjoyed. And that was a part of what led to the two of them being involved in this match as well.
I'm excited to see it. Excited to see this one too, because everyone in indie wrestling is talking about Oswald Project right now. And he is going against maybe the most hated man in Limitless Wrestling right now, Red Death Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, the swarm of people jumping down Daniel Garcia's throat after Fresh Blood was kind of unreal. And I don't know if you've watched that match with Fred Yehi yet, but the 180 that was done by the crowd with Red Death is kind of obscure, something that I haven't really seen in Limitless Wrestling before. But he's leaning into it hard. He has, you know, just does not give a shit anymore. And, you know, why would he? He fucking lived after a near-death experience, car accident at the beginning of January, came back, wrestled Pepper Parks, and then just a few months later, after being beloved at the Vacationland Cup, everybody hates him again. So he's kind of said fuck you to the Limitless Wrestling audience, and it's one of the most hated versus one of the most beloved in Oswald Project, who made his debut at Twilight Zone and really since then has taken off, appeared at GCW. He's appearing at Beyond Wrestling this weekend as well. He was in the Chikara Young Lions Cup just this past weekend. So big things on tap for Oswald Project for the contortionist who moves like no one else. So I'm very intrigued at this matchup. I'm intrigued at how Oswald Project will try to maybe make a friend out of Red Death Daniel Garcia. I just don't know if I see that happening, but
this is a huge match for this guy. I'm a huge fan of him, even if he did eliminate Mac Daniels from the Let's Rumble. CJ Cruz is stepping up to go one-on-one with the one, JT Dunn. Biggest match of his career so far to this point. And imagine what a win for CJ Cruz here would do against one of the pillars of Limitless.
This would really solidify CJ Cruz in Limitless Wrestling. Not that he hasn't done that yet, but like you said, JT Dunn is I would consider a pillar, a building block, whatever you want to call it, of Limitless Wrestling. He's been here from just about the start. He kind of came in at the end of year one, really had a good run throughout 2017 and 2018, and had an up-and-down year in 2019. Had some big wins, but some really crushing losses that, you know, he really tried to find his way at the end of the year. And luckily he did, you know, got a few victories to close out the year. Team Dunn, Christian Casanova, Josh Bishop and himself defeating Kevin Blackwood, the Butcher and the Blade, then defeating Jake Something at Twilight Zone. And he really took issue with CJ Cruz kind of getting some praise, getting some camera time with Calvin Strange after his win in the Scramble. And he really, you know, set CJ up for the biggest opportunity of his career unintentionally. I think JT Dunn just got really pissed off and went off and then set up the match himself. But I hope he's not coming into this underestimating the little brick shithouse. That's all I got to say, because CJ Cruz time and time again makes believers out of people who doubt him. He's picked up two straight wins in Limitless Wrestling, but you know, he's got the big, as you said, the biggest test of his career.
He's not a big guy, but he's got such big heart. And I know it sounds like cliche, but it really takes him far, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It just pushes him to a certain level, and I think he's able to get to that level when he's out there inside the squared circle and just kind of turn it up a notch, and he's clutch, I guess would be the correct term for it. He's clutch in big moments, and we'll see if he can do that this Friday.
And the last match I want to talk about here, can't believe this is happening. Can't wait for it to happen. It is the Main State Posse versus Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, the North, tearing it up in Impact right now. This is going to be an awesome match. Cannot wait for this.
This has been a dream match of mine, truly, I think, since we started Limitless Wrestling and started using the Main State Posse in 2016. Because
if we didn't have this championship match, this could have been the main event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't think this match would happen for a while because Josh Alexander, for the longest time, was not able to come to the States because he did not have a work visa. So
then he got hurt, too, for a little bit.
Yeah, he retired for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it seemed that this was, you know, just going to be something out of the realm of possibilities for us. Luckily, Josh Alexander getting a deal with Impact Wrestling, which they provide his work visa, and now he's been available to come in the States since May. We've literally tried to set this match up every single show since May, and it just couldn't happen. And now we're here. It's finally happening. And I couldn't be more stoked about it. If you haven't seen the promo put out by the North, check it out. We just dropped it earlier today on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you get your Limitless social media. They kind of laid it out there. They said, you know, you guys are the best tag team in that area, but we're the fucking world tag team champions. And the moment our feet touch the canvas, the small pond that you're swimming in grows bigger. And,
yeah.
Then you learn.
And it's always fun to see Ethan Page back home, too.
It is. I love having Ethan Page. And Ethan Page is a guy I wish we could have every show. I wish he was like a local guy. I really do, because he's a benefit to have in a locker room, just like Anthony Green is. And someone I wish we could, you know, work with a lot more. And just there's a laundry list of matches that I'd love to do with Ethan Page. Just can't do a ton of them all the time. But I'm very excited for this one and excited that we can finally put this tag team dream match together.
So that is Flirting with Disaster. It's coming up this Friday in Yarmouth. It is going to be very exciting. A Twilight Zone, one of the best Limitless Wrestling events ever. And now this has to follow it up. And I got a feeling that it probably will.
I hope we can top it. I think we can. It's a very strong card. And just like you always say, you never know who's going to show up to Limitless Wrestling shows.
Is that an invite?
No, but keep your eyes peeled, folks.
Interesting. Randy, real quick here, any Royal Rumble predictions? Always probably one of the most fun events. I'd imagine as a kid you probably loved the Royal Rumble.
I fucking love the Royal Rumble. To be honest, I have not had a ton of time to watch much lately.
Throw me some wacky, bold predictions.
I've seen it thrown around, and I think we've talked about it a little bit, that Edge might be in this Rumble.
And if Edge comes back, you're just going to lose it.
I have no idea that the legitimacy of the reports, but I would love that. I want Edge in the Rumble if that's possible. I'm not sure, man. I just have not seen much of the product lately because really I make it a point to watch AEW right now. I try to stay as caught up as possible, but I don't watch a ton of TV anymore, so I'm not as caught up as I'd like to be on the product. But we are doing a little watch party with Limitless Dojo here, so I will be watching the Royal Rumble.
That's exciting. That's cool.
Give me some predictions. Give me your boldest shit right now.
Well, I could tell you this. You can go to Living the Gimmick, a pro wrestling podcast where we just dropped an episode going all in on the Royal Rumble, including on patreon.com/livingthegimmick, where we're getting even more bonus content. Plus, we just did an interview with Matt Taven's trained a ton of guys who've showed up on Limitless shows before in the past. So a nice little treat there. But if you want something bold from me, I do think Edge is going to make an appearance here. If I'm making my Rumble picks here, I'm going with Roman Reigns and Shayna Baszler.
Good picks.
If you want me to really get bold, I will say Matt Riddle eliminates Brock Lesnar from the Royal Rumble.
Ooh, okay.
If you want me to really get bold.
That'd be huge. Yeah. So let me ask you, because is it actually going to be 10 superstars from each brand and then 10?
They have not specified that, but they have made it very clear NXT people will be in it. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that was a thing until earlier today.
So, which that's it more bad. Or less has been the past few years anyway. So.
Yeah, they've always had like Adam Cole last year or the year
Cole
before?
A couple years ago, yeah.
Andrade.
Right, so. Yeah. So I'm expecting that, man. It's good that the Royal Rumble's great. I've been to several Royal Rumbles. They're super fun, so.
I think it's the funnest event of the year. I enjoy the Rumble more than WrestleMania.
Oh, I think I probably do too. And let me tell you, Let's Rumble, if I can be real with you, out of all the events I've worked, and I've worked a lot, that was probably the single most fun I've ever had in a pro wrestling ring.
That was so much fun.
I was out there for an hour, man. I mean, it was awesome. That was so much fun. And if you missed it, guys, catch it when it's up. Because you shouldn't miss it, because Let's Rumble shows are just as awesome as the Limitless shows. They're totally different, but also that same Limitless charm that you get. So,
yeah,
really great stuff there. This has been the Limitless Wrestling Podcast. We thank you for tuning in. Randy, we'll do a recap show after this and break down everything from Flirting with Disaster. So we will see you guys on the other side.